once one Christmas morning, I heard angel voices calling, Gloria. Like a dream, the children sang it, the bells of old St. Peter's rang it, Gloria. Soon the wind picked up the tune and whispered to the silver moon, Gloria. Set the whole creation humming, ringing, singing, strumming, drumming, Gloria. Gloria. I can still song, earth and heaven sang along, ring it, sing it loud and long, forever, Gloria, Gloria. God as man in flesh comes down to spread his kindness all around. Gloria. To feel the things we people feel and prove his love is rich and real. Gloria. Gloria. I can still hear the song. Earth and heaven sang along. It, sing it loud and long, forever, Gloria, 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 Gloria.
Lord, this morning, before the service, I just had such an expectation, such an expectancy, Lord, of what you're going to do in our hearts and lives during this season as we celebrate the hope that we have because of Jesus. I know that some have said it's going to be a dark winter, but not for us, not for the people of God, not for those of us who have the hope of salvation. Not for those of us who know the joy of Christmas. We thank you, Father, and we praise you today. Let that joy, let that hope stir in our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. So as we get into the Christmas season, as we consider the story of the birth of Jesus, we find, if you read the Gospels, you'll find accounts of his birth in Matthew and in Luke in great detail. Mark doesn't get into it. He jumps right into his ministry. And then John takes a whole different take. And you can read in John chapter 1, of course, he deals, says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory and all of that. But Matthew and Luke go into great detail about the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And Luke's account, which we're going to look at, his account begins not with the birth of Jesus, but with the birth of John the Baptist, right? And we know that John the Baptist was to be a forerunner, and his ministry was to, quote, prepare the way of the Lord and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So the story of the birth of Jesus actually begins in Luke with John the Baptist, and the story of John the Baptist begins with his mother and father, who were Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Zacharias was a priest, and Zacharias and Elizabeth had not been able to have children. They'd not been able to conceive a child, and the Bible says they were both well advanced in years. That's a polite way of saying they were old, okay? All right, they were well advanced in years, okay? But then a miracle happened. Elizabeth becomes pregnant, and they have a son. and they name him John. And when John was born, you know, his father Zacharias was made mute because he didn't believe. And so the angel said, we're going to have to shut you up because your speaking unbelief is going to mess up the plan of God. Think about that for a minute. Yeah. I told somebody the other day, we need the Lord to press your mute button. He was saying, oh, with all this going on in our nation, we're going to have a civil war. We're going to have a, I said, like, hold it. Hold. I said, where's that angel? He needs to come and press your mute button right now. All right. So Zacharias, when the baby was born and they said, what are we going to name him? Then Zacharias said, give me something to write on. And he wrote out, his name is John. And the Bible says when he did that, because when he was doing that, he was getting into agreement with God's plan, because God had said, name him John, or through the angel. When he wrote that out, the Bible says his tongue was loosed and he began to prophesy. Spirit of God came on him and he prophesied. And here's what he prophesied in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Surely I gave you these. Okay. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. So Zacharias understood that this child, this son that God had given him and Elizabeth, this would be the one that would prepare the way for the Messiah. And this Messiah was the one that God had promised to send to his people. And God promised it by the, as he says here in verse 70, by the mouth, but go back to 70, by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. He said, this Messiah that you're going to prepare the way for, talking to John, he said, is the one that the prophets have been speaking about since the world began. And we're going to come back to that and talk about that in a moment. So from the beginning, God spoke and his prophets prophesied that a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer was coming. And Zacharias knew that that time had come. It wasn't just some far off hope somewhere. It's now. It's happening. Praise God. And so he continues to prophesy about what this Messiah, who was about to come on the scene, what he would do. And now we'll go to verse 71. He says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. That's what this Messiah would do. Hallelujah. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. So he gives us a list of what the coming of this Messiah was going to mean for the people of God, for the people who believed, for the people who followed God. He said he's going to save us from our enemies. He says he's going to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. He said he's going to remember his holy covenant. He said that this Messiah would deliver us from the hand of our enemies so that we can serve him without fear. Glory to God. That promise is still true today. That's what our Messiah Jesus came to bring to us, so that we can serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Notice this, we are to serve him. Amen. Jesus didn't come to save us so we could just go our merry way and do our own thing. Now he gives us a lot of leeway and a lot of latitude in that, certainly, but he came to save us so that we could serve him. Amen. And so that we could do it without fear. And so also that we could do it in holiness and righteousness. Jesus didn't come to save us just so, again, so we could just go and go our own way and live like the devil and then go to heaven one day. No, he came to save us out of our sins. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then Zacharias looks down at his son, at this baby that's been born, And he says this, he prophesies this over his son in verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to fast forward in the narrative about 6 months. How do we know it's 6 months? Well, we know that when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he told her, your cousin, your relative Elizabeth, is 6 months pregnant. Right? So when Mary conceived Jesus, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant already. So we know that John the Baptist was born about 6 months before Jesus was born. You follow the logic there and the reasoning? Okay. So we're going to fast forward 6 months. Jesus has just been born. He's a few days old. And Mary and Joseph are bringing him into the temple in Jerusalem. He, you know, of course, he was born in Bethlehem. Jerusalem's only 6 miles. You can walk 6 miles in 2.5 hours. And so they bring him up when he's just a few days old. They bring him up to Jerusalem, to the temple, to dedicate him to the Lord, like all Jewish babies are done. And so in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Or in other words, waiting for the Messiah. He was looking for the Messiah. He had hope that the Messiah would come. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And verse 26 says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the word Christ is interchangeable with Messiah. In other words, Simeon, God had promised him, the Holy Spirit had promised him, you're not going to pass from the scene, you're not going to die until your eyes behold the Messiah. Hallelujah. The one that the prophets had prophesied about for generations and for centuries before. Now the Holy Spirit tells Simeon, you're going to see him with your own eyes. Praise God. You're going to see the Messiah. Verse 27 says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him. Notice that he was in the right place at the right time. How did he know? He got up that day and he said, you know, I just, something on the inside of me is telling me I need to get to the temple today. And the Holy Spirit led him to get there at the very moment, that Joseph and Mary were bringing in the baby Jesus. Now, don't you know, that there were, I'm sure there were several other mothers and fathers bringing in their firstborn sons, their children, in to dedicate them to the Lord as well that day. But somehow Simeon knew when he saw Jesus, this is him. This is the one. Amen. And so he comes in, they come in. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Notice that. He calls the Messiah. He says, this is your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. And he said, and he prophesies what this Messiah is going to be in verse 32. A light to bring revelation. Let's get 32 up there. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So Simeon, he had been expecting, he had been looking for the Messiah. He comes into the temple and now he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Did you know that salvation is a person? Amen. Salvation is not a theological concept. Salvation is a person. Yes. Amen. And that person is Jesus. He said, my eyes have seen your salvation. He wasn't talking about some theological doctrine. He was talking about a person. He was talking about a baby. He was talking about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Salvation is a person. When we receive Jesus, we receive salvation. Amen. Amen. And then he goes on to say that, again, this Messiah will not only be for the glory of Israel, but he says he's going to be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Yeah. Hallelujah. So they're already speaking, and we'll see as we're going to go, because we're going to go back and look at these prophecies in the Old Testament. There, but because they foretold, even though it was a mystery and it was hidden, that this Savior, this Messiah, was not just the Jewish Messiah, but he was to be the Messiah, the Savior for the whole world, for every one of us. Hallelujah. So again, let's look back at Luke 1, verse 70, at what Zechariah said as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. So we're going to go back in the rest of this message now, and we're going to go back and we're going to find out what the holy prophets had to say. Amen. What they actually prophesied, what they actually spoke about this coming Messiah, about God's salvation. Praise God. And if you think about it, you know, we read the book of Acts and we see them carrying the gospel not only to the people of Israel, but beginning in Acts 10, they begin to carry the gospel to the Gentile world. And, you know, they didn't have any of the New Testament was not written when they began to go and preach, was it? Right? You know that, right? Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul couldn't say, let's open our Bibles and turn to my letter to the Thessalonians. He couldn't even say, I want to refer to something that Mark wrote in his gospel. They didn't have any of it. All they had was the Old Testament. And yet from the Old Testament, they clearly and boldly preached and convincingly preached Jesus as the Messiah and as the Savior. So it's all in there. It's all in there in the Old Testament. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to do what they did. And we're going to go back to the Old Testament scriptures, and we're going to reveal Jesus, the Messiah, from the Old Testament scriptures. Genesis chapter 3. We got to go all the way back. The very day that everything went wrong. The very day that sin came into the world. The very day that Satan became the God of this world. That very day, God prophesied about a Messiah, about a Savior who would come. Hallelujah. After Adam and Eve sinned, God comes down and he addresses them and he speaks to them. And he says, and he speaks to the serpent. He's actually addressing the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. You know, the devil hates you, ladies. You ought to just rise up. You ought to rise up in your holy authority in the name of Jesus and make him pay. Glory to God. He hates guys too, but he hates you ladies. He just tries to attack you and just come against you in so many ways. I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Now watch this. And between your seed and her seed. There is the first scripture alluding to the virgin birth. That the Messiah, the Savior, would be born of a virgin. Because he is referred to here as the seed of the woman, her seed. I'll put enmity, talking about the devil, between your seed and her seed. Normally it would be called the seed of the man. I mean, the seed comes from the man, right? Okay, in normal natural conception. But this child, this Messiah, would be the seed of the woman, alluding to and foretelling and prophesying of the virgin birth, all right? And this is what this Messiah is going to do, her seed. He shall bruise your head. Now notice, again, he's talking to the devil. God is talking to Satan, to the serpent. He said, this seed of the woman that will come, he's going to bruise your head. Amen. And that meant that he would strip him of his power and authority. Amen. Hallelujah. You may have won a victory today, Satan. You may have gained the ascendancy today, but there's one coming, the seed of the woman, and he's going to crush your head. He's going to bruise your head. Hallelujah. And in the process, you're going to bruise his heel. When Jesus crushed the head of Satan, there was a bruising that took place to the Messiah's heel. We know that on the cross, he was beaten. He was crucified. And all that, he suffered. He was beaten. He was crucified. And he died. That was the bruising of his heel. But God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. The next prophecy we're going to look at is in Isaiah. And it's a prophecy of the virgin birth. You know this one? In Isaiah 7 verse 14. Now there's many we could spend all day and not look at all the prophecies. I like the one that Balaam gave actually. Did you know that Balaam actually prophesied? Yeah, he did. In fact, this is not the notes. The scripture won't be on the screen, but I just want to include this one just while we're thinking about it, and I'll just share it with you. But Balaam was hired. Balaam was sort of a quasi prophet. He was kind of half in, half. You know, God can use people that aren't just right.
Yeah, that's true.
look in the mirror, and you'll realize that. Hallelujah! Right. Amen. But Balaam prophesied, if I can find, yeah, I found it. Okay. Balaam prophesied. He was called by the king of Moab to come and curse the Israelites. Remember that story? It's called to come. He saw this great multitude coming out of Egypt, and he got concerned they were going to take over his land. And so he called Balaam, come and pronounce a curse on them. And every time Balaam tried to open his mouth and pronounce a curse on him, blessing came out. And here's one of them. He said, okay, Balak, if you'll give me a little more money here, I think I can do it. And he puts the money in his pocket and he says, okay, here we go. I'm going to curse. And he tries to curse him. But this comes out instead in Numbers 24:17. He says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. A scepter is what a king holds. So he talks about a star and a king. Don't you know the wise men? A beautiful song that David sang this morning about the wise men. Don't you know, I'm sure the wise men knew this scripture. The wise men, when they saw the star, they said, that's got to be it. That's got to be the star that Balaam prophesied about. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter, a king, shall rise out of Israel. That's why they came to Jerusalem, and they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Amen. He says, a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab. Well, that wasn't what the king of Moab wanted to hear, obviously. But my point is, there's so many prophecies throughout the scriptures. We can look in really every book of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and find prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. But we're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to just look at a few. So Isaiah 7 verse 14, Isaiah prophesies this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin shall conceive. So there he makes it abundantly clear, a virgin is going to conceive, that this Messiah, this Savior, is going to be conceived and born of a virgin, not naturally, but supernaturally, born of a virgin, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. This child that is to be born is God. Is God. God with us. Amen. Now Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus was born, and he prophesied this 700 years before the birth of Jesus. He prophesied that a virgin would conceive, that a virgin would bear a son, and that that son would be known as God with us, Emmanuel. Praise God. See, this Messiah, this Savior, is none other than God Himself. God became man. Hallelujah. And He would come into the world, this God would come into the world the same way that every other human being comes into the world. He would be born. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. Hallelujah. Isaiah continues to prophesy in Isaiah chapter 9. I like this one. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, and this is in the New Living. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Praise, that's a good word today, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You can take that today. Amen. You can take that for your life today. Amen. And just declare that over your life. If you've been dealing with depression, then declare this. Here's a good word for you right here. Isaiah 9, verse 1. The time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember Mark Rutland talking about that when, he had been very successful and was even president of Oral Roberts. I think this was before he was president of ORU, but he had been president of Southeastern College and our university in Lakeland, Florida. It actually had become an accredited university, gone from college status to university status under his tenure. And, of course, he'd been a successful missionary and preacher and author. But yet he struggled with depression. And he got up one night in the middle of the night and walking the floor under a cloud of depression. And he says, am I ever going to get better? Is it ever going to get any better than this? You know, and the devil spoke up. You know, this voice spoke up on the inside of him or out here, actually. The devil's not doesn't live in you. Amen. But he can speak in your mind. I need to clarify that. And he said, you don't have a prayer. And then, of course, once that thought came, he said almost immediately, he said right behind it, he said, it's almost as if the Lord was waiting for the devil to say that so he could say what he needed to say with impact and with force. And the Lord said, yes, you do. You do have a prayer if you'll reclaim it and use it. And, of course, that was for him the Lord's prayer. And he began to pray the Lord's Prayer. And he said, praying that prayer a dozen, 100 times a day, that brought me out of that pit of depression. Glory to God. So the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. Now, when Isaiah prophesied this, Jerusalem was where it was happening for the things of God. Jerusalem was where it was happening for the work of God. But Isaiah prophesied and said, you know, up the road north of here, that region, that area that we call Galilee, it's going to be filled with glory. Hallelujah. The people up there that walk in darkness, they're going to see a great light. There were Gentiles living up there. And those people that live in darkness and walk in darkness, they're going to see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Isaiah prophesies there's coming a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles is going to be filled with glory. Do you know most of Jesus' ministry was carried out in Galilee? He came to Jerusalem only on certain occasions, and then the last week of His earthly ministry, before His crucifixion, He was in Jerusalem all that time. But most of His ministry, I think 80% of the recorded miracles of Jesus were done in Galilee. And 700 years before that happened, Isaiah said, these people in Galilee are going to see a great light. The region of Galilee is going to be filled with glory. And 700 years later, Jesus came on the scene and He began His ministry in Galilee. And for the next 3.5 years, Galilee was filled with glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so again, Isaiah said, he calls the place, the region, Galilee of the Gentiles. And so again, they're beginning to allude to that this Messiah would not only be a Savior of the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Remember, Simeon at his birth prophesied, you're going to be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Let's go down and read verse 4. For you will break the yoke of their slavery. Amen. Who? The people of Galilee. Yeah. You will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod. Amen. Hallelujah. What did Peter say about the ministry of Jesus? His 3.5-year ministry. Peter summarized it in one sentence. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Put that back up on the screen there, please, Grayson, verse 4. Let's look at it again. He said, you're going to come. There's one going to come, and he's going to break the yoke of their slavery. Hallelujah. He's going to lift the heavy burden from their shoulders, and he's going to break the oppressor's rod. Jesus did that when he healed the sick. As I said, 80% of his miracles were performed in Galilee. Healing the sick, delivering those oppressed by demons, forgiving people of their sins. Hallelujah. He did all that. Isaiah prophesied it 700 years before. Amazing. Amazing. And now let's go down to verse 6. This is one that we all know. Isaiah prophesies and says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So again, Isaiah is prophesying that this Messiah is going to come into the earth just like every other human being does, as a baby, born as a baby. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. See, this speaks of both the combination of Jesus' humanity and his divinity. His humanity is a child is born. His divinity, a son, God's son, was given from the Father. Amen? And he says the government will be on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. His name will be called Mighty God. He's God. He's God. Jesus is God. Mighty God. His name will be called Everlasting Father. Because he's existed from the beginning. And the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. This is a revelation of the Trinity. This is a revelation that this Son, God's Son, is also one with God. Hallelujah. In verse 7 it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus was prophesied here that he would be the heir to David's kingdom, and he will sit on David's throne. I think we sang about that this morning. He will sit on David's throne. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this prophesied Messiah would be the rightful heir to the kingdom, because God promised David, you'll never fail to have a son to sit on your throne. Hallelujah. And Jesus fit that. Jesus fit that. Amen? Praise God. Reed, come on back up if you would. And we're going to wrap it up with another one that you're familiar with, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Hallelujah. So here's the prophecy that declared that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Now, the odds that one individual could fulfill all of these prophecies, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, minister in Galilee, everything, every part of the story that the Old Testament prophets put together, the odds of one individual fulfilling all this are astronomical. It's like one in, 10 to the 32nd power, something like that. No, only one could do it. Hallelujah. And God worked it all out. Praise God. And of course, Joseph and Mary were not living in Bethlehem, were they? Where were they living? They were living in Nazareth, right? They were living in Nazareth. When Mary conceived and before Jesus' birth, they were living in Nazareth. Well, we gotta figure this out now. He's gotta be born in Bethlehem. They didn't know that. They didn't know when Mary conceived. They didn't know he was the Messiah. I mean, the angel spoke to her, but they didn't know, okay, we got to get to Bethlehem. They didn't arrange that. No, God arranged that. Amen. We don't have to arrange stuff to fulfill what God has spoken. Amen. We just have to believe. And we just have to walk in faith and obey. Let God arrange it. You're going to mess it up if you try to arrange it. Isn't that right? Amen. We're laughing because we've done that, right? All right. But God had said he would be born in Bethlehem. This prophecy says, you Bethlehem, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Again, pointing to the fact that he's God and he has existed as God from the beginning. He has no beginning. His goings forth are from everlasting, from eternity past. He's already there. Hallelujah. And so Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. But what happened? What happened was that God moved on the heart, or God knew somehow that the Roman emperor would say, it's time for a census and a taxation of the people of Israel. Of Judea. And everybody's got to go to their ancestral home to register. So Joseph was of the house of David. And so he had to go to Bethlehem. And so they travel to Bethlehem. And of course, while they're in Bethlehem, it's there that the time comes for Mary to give birth. And Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And and Micah prophesies that he's going to be ruler in Israel. And he goes on and continues his prophecy in verse 3. He says, therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. That's Mary giving birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. Then, after he's born, after he comes into the earth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand, notice this, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. He shall stand and feed his flock. Here, Micah is prophesying that this Messiah that's going to be born, he's going to be a shepherd-like one. What did Jesus say about himself in John chapter 10? He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Peter writes and he says, you've returned to that great shepherd. Or in Hebrews it says, Peter says, you've returned to the shepherd of your soul. You were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd of your soul. Hallelujah. And it's interesting that this prophecy was spoken regarding Bethlehem, which was the home of David, who was a shepherd before he became a king. Hallelujah. But he shall stand and feed his flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. And he'll do it in the strength of the Lord. And the remnant's going to return. Jesus said in John chapter 10 as well, he said, I've got other sheep who are not of this fold, and they're going to come, and they're going to be gathered in as well. And that's us. That's us. That's us. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. And they shall abide, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great, not only in Israel, but to the ends of the earth, even all the way to Forsyth County, Georgia in 2020. He's still great. He's still great. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. He's a Savior for the whole world. A Savior for the whole world. A Savior for you. A Savior for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. And I want to pray for those that are watching this on YouTube. He's a Savior that's come for you. He's a Savior that was a Son that was given for you. Do you know Him? Have you received Him? You can right now if you don't. I want to pray for you right now. Right now you can just call on His name and He'll come into your heart. He'll save you from your sin. He'll save you from your despair. He'll save you from your emptiness and from your loneliness and from your lack of purpose. What am I here for? What is my life for? You can find out when you come to Him. When you come to Him, everything comes together. I'm not saying that you'll never have another problem, but I'm saying you'll have a sense of purpose and destiny. You'll know who you belong to. You'll know that your eternity is secure. So receive Him right now. Call on Him right now. Just pray this prayer after me. Those of you that are in here in the congregation, if you would, pray it with me out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I understand that He's not only the Messiah of the Jews, He's the Savior of the world. And He can be my Savior today. Lord Jesus, I call upon You. Come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for coming to live in me. I give my life to You. I trust You with the rest of my life, with my future, with my eternity, with all that concerns me. I give it to You. You're my shepherd to care for me, to guide me, to lead me, to feed me. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.